Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Richard Geiger, Ken Seymour, triumphant return.
And we're back. We would hear from our late 90s sound clips, it's been a while.
Yes, it has. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the sporadic use of social media that we've been giving, but the Pudding Guys have had, let us say, a rough several weeks with one of us, we'll see if you can guess who, succumbing to multiple sicknesses that removed voice and made that person beg for any normal feeling again, and just now coming back.
Yes, you were once again, referencing our it'd be early 2000. You were down with the sickness.
Yeah, not in the fun rocking way, but in the Jesus, please make it stop kind of a way. But we're back. We're back and we're ready to get back into the saddle, just like Aerosmith. And we're going to come back. We're going to ease into it. Let's take it nice and slow, nice and simple. Richard was nice enough to kind of give us a little bit of a build up. The first step. We're going to take that first slightly faster step into the running stride. We haven't gone back to one of our favorite topics that we've been dealing with for a long time, and I figured that would be the place to start, a little bit of history. We're history buffs.
Yes, we are. Well, growing up, would we say we enjoyed history as a subject? And I would even say in the 90s, I liked the history that I learned. And now, because, we're old, 90s is history. So
as sad as that is. And speaking of the 90s being history, that's where we left off when we were doing our history of comics and television. Do you guys remember that series? We went through all the movies and got caught up, although here shortly we're going to have to do the year 2024 in comic book films. That's about to happen. But we had finished all the films and we went to talk about a little bit of TV, and it's multiple episodes of going, hey, that was based on this, and neither of us saw it, and we have no idea.
Yeah, a lot of I don't know about that, or Garfield or Archie.
Right. Over and over.
A lot of Garfield, Archie, some Peanuts here and there.
Scooby-Doo.
And, strangely enough, we've got a jam-packed year.
Yes.
With none of those.
None of the heavy hitters of the past,
30 years of television.
We've got 11 entries. Now, we're not going to give equal billing and time to all of them because, again, there's going to be a bunch of these we just didn't see. But above and beyond that, several of them are not what I would call high-end productions, things that people are going to really remember. So we're going to try and stick to talking about a little more about the things that have a little more to do with what we actually care about. But let's start with something based off of a comic strip. That's always a good way to go. And in fact, not only was this based off of a comic strip, it's not a series. It is instead just a single special. We've talked about a couple of these specials. Are you remembering, Mr. Richard, the strip For Better or For Worse?
Yes. Yep. That was a single one, right?
We had a couple of them actually.
Yep.
You're talking about a single panel. Yes. It is always a single panel. And they made a couple of different, they say, hey, let's take this single panel based on family experiences and turn it into a special. And in 1994, for better or for worse, The Babe Magnet came out. Now, if you look on imdb.com, it gives you a synopsis of the episode as blank. Add a plot in your language.
real in-depth there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. Not a lot of information. The one thing that I will point out again, just like the previous versions that they did of this special, the one name that jumps out for me associated with it is Vic Sahay, who I just absolutely love. The dude is funny and makes me giggle every time I see him. If you've never seen the show Chuck, he was one of the nerd herd. He's a funny dude. So other than that, if you saw this, sorry, probably feels like a waste of a half an hour, but yeah, that came out in 94 and a little fanfare. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. No reason to really sit there. I'm not Perfect. Even going to go into the origins because we've talked about the origins already.
We have. We've done a better for worse. Yep.
But let's talk about something a little more interesting. This was a show that actually got two seasons starting in 1994. The average episode length was 30 minutes. They made 26 episodes. And the show is called Baby Huey.
We talking about The Boys?
No, not at all. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the Baby Huey was basically a Warner Brothers property. A giant duck that wore a diaper and the little bobbin thing on the head and was kind of dumb and did funny stuff. Now, the thing that's interesting to me about the whole Baby Huey is a lot of people consider Baby Huey to not have started in comics, but actually having started in animation, with the first official appearance being in Quackadoodle-Doo that came out in March of 1950. But his first comic book appearance was in Casper the Friendly Ghost in late 1949. Mm. So it's kind of one of those Merry Melodies style characters that's just kind of goofy and funny. And if you'd recognize the character if you saw it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's just fun. And they had a lot of local. That's not exactly what I meant to say. They had a lot of reputable voice talent behind it, between Sid Raymond as Baby Huey and Michael Ciccoli as Papa. The names that you would probably recognize if you saw multiple specials with voice talent, that sort of thing.
Well, the other one that I noticed was Billy West.
Absolutely. Billy West has just done tons and tons of stuff.
Most people would know him as, Fry.
Right.
From Futurama. But he's done so many more things. But, with this one being from the 90s and a lot of those other things that people paid attention to him from more so recently, coming many years later, this might have been one of the earlier things in his career that he did a voice acting for.
Yeah, and this is something that I actually watched, and it was goofy. It was silly. Just kind of fun stuff. And if you enjoyed watching, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and the Merry Melodies and all that sort of stuff, generally speaking, you would probably enjoy Baby Huey. It's kind of a little on the lower brow side of things, but I enjoyed it.
I can say I know I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I couldn't tell you like a darn bit of any of it. I it's really familiar to me. I've definitely seen it before. It's just, I could tell you nothing about it.
Yeah. You're not missing. There was no major episode that go, oh, that changed my life. No, it's just a bunch of goofy nothing for the most part, but still kind of neat. We get to see a character that we're probably not going to see again in any other reference.
No.
In anything else that we do. But, yeah, so there's that. All right, let's stick with comic strips again. You recognized, for better or worse, as a single panel. This next one is also a single panel. I can't remember if there was one we talked about that was a previous special. It's another special, just not an actual show, but it was a 23-minute special. But Gary Larson's Tales from the Far Side.
Ooh, I don't know if we've done a Far Side one yet. In terms of like a show or a special that was out. I mean, I know Far Side is just an amazing, you know, like one panel.
Yeah.
It's top notch, if you will.
Yeah, I always really, really enjoyed the Far Side stuff whenever I was able to read in the newspapers. And it started back in 1980, back in Chronicle Features. But it got syndicated and it was just everywhere.
I don't know how many I have, but I have, at least a handful of Far Side, just like actual books laying around the house here somewhere, just collections of all those.
Yeah. 'Cause they're funny. And that's basically all they did is they just took a couple of those single panel gags and turned it into a little special. I didn't see it when it came out, but I saw it years later and it is amusing. The one thing that was kind of funny, it's like, oh, this worked better as a still frame. It let you kind of take it where your mind would take it instead of where they decided to take it, which was kind of fun.
Yeah. I could see where the potential or maybe even the thought would come of the success. 'Cause I feel like even as like a high school kid, middle school kid, whatever it was, when those, 'cause we would get the Sunday paper. Right. I don't know if your family got the Sunday paper. Ours was the South Bend Tribune. But I always looked for a handful of things out of the South Bend Tribune. And one of those was like the full 4-6 pages worth of comics. And all Far Side was the one I always went for. Always.
Yeah. Far Side, for me, is Far Side and Bloom County or Opus when it became Opus. And there were a couple that I would always look for. But, yeah. So, pretty interesting, but yeah, not good enough to get a recurring series.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
All right, but this next one we're going to talk about did get a full series. Now, interesting thing about it, it got a couple of seasons. It had an adaptation we talked about in the movie side of things. That did not do well. In fact, did very not well. But the TV show seemed to do okay. 35 episodes, half an hour apiece between 94 and 96. This was called Phantom 2040.
Interesting.
He goes, what is that? Well, the Phantom was originally also a comic strip that came out in 1936, back in King Features Syndicates. And again, it got syndicated all over the place, created by Lee Falk. Think about it as Guy in Purple. It's basically like a Batman-style character fighting crime, no real powers to speak of.
Yeah, Billy Zane. I like that movie. So
yeah, most people did not.
Yes, I understand why.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting if you look at the vocal talent that was associated with this. We have a Mr. Mark Hamill in here. We've got a Margot Kidder in here. We've got a Ron Perlman in here.
Now, some of us listening to this would go, I know Mark Hamill. I know Ron Perlman. And some of us would be like, who's Margot Kidder? And we're talking about comic books. We're talking about TV. We're talking about movie. Like, Right now, actually, you can go on Max and you can watch like a little Christopher Reeve Superman special. But, you know, Lois Lane herself, Margot Kidder.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Now, I also want to call out Mr. Scott Valentine doing the honors of the main character. I don't know if you ever watched Family Ties, but he played the kind of the bad boy boyfriend Nick in Family Ties.
I did watch Family Ties. I could tell you very little about the day-to-day stories. I know that the cast and all, like there was one, I guess you could say, major star, technically two major stars that really came out of that.
Right.
Really launched Michael J. Fox's career, but we had there was a little side character who was a little bit of a troublemaker who showed up later on and became somewhat of a superstar, but, you know, that's okay. I feel like that show was it appointment television watching?
I don't know if I called appointment, but I always watched it because I just, in terms of sitcoms, it was one of my favorites. The Alex Keaton character was just too good. I mean, yeah, it was too easy. But I mean,
did love his Reagan, you know, his Ronald Reagan. That's for
yeah,
sure.
that was pretty funny for a youngin like me trying to figure out what all that meant. Pretty funny. But other voices in the show, Leah Remini had a voice in here. Paul Williams. Richard Lynch, Ione Morris had one. Debbie Harry had a voice in this.
Oh, dang.
Alan Oppenheimer. I mean, it is a ridiculously stacked vocal cast in terms of this show. So I guess to a certain extent, it shouldn't be too surprising they at least got a couple of seasons out of it. They even had some guests from like Adrian Paul and...
Yeah. I was gonna say that was like right around his heyday, right?
Yeah, exactly. So pretty funny stuff. But I have to admit, this is one of those shows that I didn't watch originally because I never liked the Phantom character very much. I always just found him kind of boring. But I kind of want to go back and watch it now that I know how good that cast is.
So in looking at some of the information here, and I can't tell you the utmost accuracy of it, but seasons 1 and 2 appear to be available on Prime.
I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah.
So, hey, check it out.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that lasted a couple of seasons. Sometimes you just know that something is going to be really good. And sometimes you think something is going to be really good and it's not. That's where we're going into our next one from. Now, this next show had 13 episodes, 25-minute episodes, another animated show. This one was based off of a comic book. You know the company that Spider-Man's based out of, right? Marvel.
Yes.
You know the company that Batman is based out of, right?
Yes, Washington, D.C.,
That's right, DC. And you know what company the character Prime is based out of, right?
Prime. Amazon.
How about Pix?
Is that with an X?
Two X's.
Oh, okay.
Or Hardcase.
Hard or Heart?
Hardcase.
I feel like I've heard of that.
This was the superhero team Ultra Force. Malibu Comics.
Malibu. I've heard of Malibu Comics.
Yeah, they're an imprint of Marvel. And I actually did. I liked several of the Malibu Comics stuff. It was never quite as spit-shined as the other Marvel stuff, but that meant that they could take some chances. But this group, the original first appearance came out in actually Marvel Annual Report number 4 in 1994. So they didn't take very long to convert this into a show. But yeah, the big kind of super powerful Superman style characters Prime. Topaz was a silver-skinned warrior queen of Gwendor. The hero known as Prototype, who is ultra-text-armored spokesperson. And the smart-talking, walking undead ghoul, the last surviving member of the Exiles. Hardcase, one of the first public ultras, and the young computer genius Pix. So yeah, it's very tailored.
Yes, I'm seeing this now. And I... on its own... without any other things around it to reference it, it probably would have been okay. But since it was more or less a amalgamation copy of everything else, that it just kind of was got lost in the shuffle and became easily passed on and overlooked.
Yeah, if you can't hear, I'm still a little coughing. I'm going to apologize for that, but there's just no way past it. I bet it's still going to take me a couple weeks to get these last little tidbits of sickness to go away, but I'll try and keep it under wraps.
I think you need Ultra Force to come and get things right for you.
That would make me laugh too much, and I would start choking, I think. They tried, though. They did what they could. This is another instance where the vocal talent will tell you everything about a show. And looking at this lineup, I do not recognize anybody. So it feels like they didn't try real hard. Moving on.
Next, please.
Let's go away from Malibu and instead to a third production house that actually had some success, especially in the 90s, and that would be Image Comics. Now, specifically, this is the Wildstorm imprint of Image Comics and the television show that also got an amazing 13 episodes.
Oh, dang.
Was Wildcats Covert Action Teams.
Oh, geez. must be a winner.
Let me put it this way. It was a product of its time. The comics, everything the Image did, well, not everything, that's not fair, but a lot of what Image did basically looked like all of the stylized ridiculousness that crept into the other major publication houses without being reined in at all. It was just so cheesy.
Took me a second for me to figure out that when you said Wildcats, that CATS is an acronym for Covert Action Teams.
Yeah. So not only...
so clever, yeah.
Not only is it there, they have to explain it in the title. It's like, yeah, CATS means this. So now they actually got a little bit better vocal talent in this. I mean, they got Dean McDermott at least. I don't know if you recognize that particular name, but he's been in he's in Sharknado.
Oh, dang. All of them or just one of them?
But he's been in a lot of stuff. Let me put it that way. I recognize Dean McDermott. Dennis Akiyama, I really know him.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the images from this because I don't remember anything about it. And there's a character that's in here who's got like a red face bandana.
Yes.
And like the yellow belts, but like not belts, but belts that go across the chest, kind of looks like an X.
Yeah, it's Grifter.
Looks like a DC character.
Yeah, his name is Grifter.
Grifter. Did What am I thinking here? Did I see, was that character in like the, was the, in the Flashpoint Paradox? Was there a grifter that was in that?
Well, here's the thing. Wildcats, I think, while it started in Image, I think some of, was it Wildcats? No, it wasn't Wildcats. It was Wildstorm. There was an Image group that got kind of absorbed into DC. And I'm spacing what it is right now, but I don't think it was that one. But there's, I'm wouldn't be surprised if there was a character that looked very much like that, that got pulled into it. I watched this show. Let me rephrase that. I watched part of one episode of this show, and I hated it so much I didn't finish it. So
that good, huh? Okay.
Now, to be fair, that was a long time ago. I was a little more picky about what I watched and had a hard time appreciating certain things. I think if I go back, I might be able to get all the way through the episode. I still may not like it, but I would say, oh, yeah, I can see as a product of its time what it was doing and yada, yada, and yakety schmackety. But, yeah. Didn't like it very much.
I don't recall seeing any. I wish we'd, I wish that to an extent we had just a snippet more information on when this was released, when it was out, what show, what channel it was on.
Right, right. Yeah, I didn't track that one down. If I had to guess, it was probably Fox.
Sounds Fox-ish.
Yeah.
See, I, you know, some of these things too, growing up with the old, you know, analog antenna that was on the, you know, and TV antenna pole outside to pick up the stations that were from, you know, an hour north or 3 hours west. There really wasn't a lot of selections for some of those. So, you know, like a Fox, we didn't have a Fox for a while.
Right. So, let's go from something that you didn't see to I bet you watched this next one. And I bet you cackled at it like a fiend because I know the type of stuff that you enjoy. And I know back in the day you were a big fan of a little bit of Beavis and Butthead and silliness like that. And this kind of falls under that umbrella. This particular show made it 4 seasons. Of 30-minute animated episodes. And it was based off of a Dark Horse Comics title that came out in 1988. It's basically, it was meant to be kind of a filler humorous thing, but keep your mind on Beavis and Butthead meets Cow and Chicken. We're talking about Duckman, Private Dick, Family Man.
Duckman. It sounds familiar. What would that have been on?
That almost certainly would have been on Fox.
Yeah, that looks really familiar.
I mean, voiced by Jason Alexander as the lead. I mean, they put some faith into this one.
Now, I remember seeing commercials for this or advertise. They were really pumping this hard from like an advertisement standpoint. I don't know that I ever got a chance to watch it because I don't think I had access to it.
I saw a few episodes, and it was goofy. And it was sarcastic, kind of right up my alley.
Probably something I would have enjoyed, actually.
A crass womanizing duck works as a private eye with his level-headed pig sidekick, all the while raising a family as a single dad.
I mean, even the animation looks like, you know, like Cow and Chicken, stuff like that.
Exactly. And on top of Jason Alexander being involved, you got Greg Berger doing voice on it. Dweezil Zappa
I saw that.
Tim Curry, Ben Stein, John Astin. I mean, oh my Lord. Gilbert Godfrey was in a handful of episodes because, you know, you got to have Gilbert in there at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Affleck.
Charlie Adler. He's, you know, big animated voice for sure.
Right.
James Avery was in it. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, they.
Ice-T. Well, because he voiced himself, but.
And I remember laughing myself silly on a couple of these. You can't take it serious in any way, shape, or form. But this was made by the same people that made Rugrats and Real Monsters, and so I mean it's hilarious. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you just keep going down the list and the you know, the people are probably just in like an episode here and there, you know. Steven Weber, Joe Wall showed up in one. That's pretty funny.
Well, life
Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds. I might have to go revisit this.
Darren Ferguson. But yeah, so that was pretty impressive. I had completely forgotten about that show. So I'm going to handle three of the next things all at the same time.
Yes.
Basically because, some of them lasted a little longer than others. One managed to last 5 seasons. One of them lasted 2 seasons and one of them lasted 2 seasons. But they're all kind of the same artistic style, and they're from the same universe. We were talking about Marvel making a little bit of an impact in 1994 in the animated side, and they definitely did. They had 3 titles all start in 94. They had Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and Iron Man all start in 94.
Dang, all of those are in 94?
Yeah.
So You can go to, you know, Disney Plus and you can see all of these right now. And I have started to rewatch the Marvel, this episode, these of Spider-Man. And I've watched very recently, maybe in the last couple of years, the Iron Man series, at least half of it, if not more of it. And then the Fantastic Four. I've tried to watch some of the episodes of that one. That one's a little tougher to watch, but
it's pretty cheesy.
I like to watch the ones that, sometimes you go through them and like, I don't want to see them just like doing things and they have a problem and then they resolve a thing. I want to see them with like a Galactus shows up and what does that episode look like?
Right. You know?
So that's kind of the ones in the Fantastic Four that I've watched. You know, Super Skrull shows up a bunch in that cartoon.
All right, are you ready to have your mind blown? You're talking about being excited in the previous show, seeing James Avery show up for a minute. How about James Avery as War Machine?
Yes, in Iron Man.
Right.
You can tell it plain as day. If you ever watched Fresh Prince, which I would assume a lot of us have.
Oh yeah.
And you don't need any, like you watch him do a line of dialogue and it's him. Like it's plain as day.
And it's just like whenever I watched it, anytime I would hear Iron Man talk, it's like, oh, it's Airplane. You know, stop calling me Shirley. You
know, mm-hmm.
Ted Stryker is Iron Man. What's happening? Yeah, Robert Hayes having that very, very unique voice. That was something.
It wasn't James Avery doing it the whole time. I think they cycled through it every once in a while.
Well, yeah, you got Dorian Harewood as Jim Rhodes.
Yep.
So
it just when you watch this one, the thing that gets me about the Iron Man series in this is that it's the main bad guys in this one, right, are the Mandarin.
Yeah.
But like the Mandarin, I guess, that you would think of as the Mandarin, which is like the long nails, has the rings, you know, kind of like wizardy looking in a certain sense, right?
Right, right. And it's Robert Ito.
Yep. And then the fact that MODOK is his like underling, like the bumbling sidekick, if you will, in like every episode.
Right.
And then you've got Whirlwind as like a Whirlwind, Living Laser, a Gargoyle, like as kind of like the grunts that are there. Yep. Also the comedic. I find that Iron Man comic show more amusing than the other ones that would be similar to it, like the Fantastic Four one, for example.
Right. But it's a lot of fun. The Spider-Man one got the best treatment in terms of star power doing voices. You got Ed Asner, who we've had on the show as J. Jonah Jameson. But Linda Gary as Aunt May. Majel Barrett as Anna Watson. If you're a Star Trek person, you know who that is. And if you're not, shame on you. You should be.
You got to be.
Yeah.
The thing about the Spider-Man, this animated series, is that it went for all those seasons. It felt like it was more than what it was, right?
Right.
There's a lot of seasons. There's a lot of episodes. I feel like trying to watch all of these things, it says like episode guide, 65 episodes. I feel like there was like 100 in this.
Feels but like it for sure.
The storylines kind of progressed season over season. That you had the bad guys that were in there that I guess you would say would be your typical lineup of Spider-Man bad guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
They dug into other storylines. I don't know how comic accurate they would, but you know, like
mostly
if the Green Goblin's there, then the Hobgoblin shows up later and Venom shows up there and Carnage shows up there. I mean, they kind of bring in a little bit of all the bad guys, right? That's what I liked, the variety of the bad guys.
Yeah, definitely so. And the fact that you got to have Hank Azaria as Eddie Brock, Mark Hamill doing the Hobgoblin.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. They just had such a really deep pool of talent they could pull from. And in this plot, I mean, it's dumbed down. Because it's an animated series. Of course it's dumbed down. But still, I enjoyed it. It was, you know, for just mild amusement sake, they did a good job.
And if you look at a lot of the voice talent in this one, a lot of it's the same as what was in Iron Man, for example.
Yep. In fact,
so they just... you know, kept it consistent.
They got the guy that did Rhodey to come over and do Tombstone.
Yes. I'm trying to think here. I was looking at here. So Don Stark, if you watch that 70s show, you would know who that is.
Right.
But he's Rhino in this, and he was something else in, oh gosh, what was he in?
Iron Man, anyway,
but still, like even when you see him show up in there, but then across all these different ones, I'm just like, oh my gosh, they just got like the coolest cast for this.
Yeah, too much fun, but so Marvel definitely had their successes in 1994 and lasted for a little while, but they were not to be outdone. They were not, in my mind, the best animated series to come out in 1994. I mean, Spider-Man was good. I mean, we've dealt with a couple others that were fun that we watched, but I saved what I felt was the best animated series to come out in 1994 based on the comic for last.
Ooh.
This particular show we haven't really gone into because we talked about movies and they have not done a movie based on this. They have done several shows based on this. And in fact, the source material for this show was a comic book that came out in 1979, created by Bob Burton, called The Flaming Carrot. Do you know what show I'm talking about?
Flaming Carrot.
Arthur, there is villainy afoot.
Arthur.
Spoon!
No, I have no idea.
It's The Tick, man.
Oh, The Tick. Oh, my gosh. So this was on, this one was on Fox, right?
Yes. It got, three seasons? Yeah, three seasons. This show was so good.
Yes,
I've seen every episode.
This one was very good. I think even still to this day, this one holds up really well.
Yeah. I will just giggle like a child every time I watch it. The episode where he travels around on basically Galactus. pardon me. Makes me laugh every single time. The fact that that there's continuity. That's the other thing that really kind of blew me away, because a silly show like this, a lot of times it's episodic and nothing would persist.
Mm-hmm.
Everything persisted. When the chair started carving his name into the moon, it stayed there.
It stayed there. Yes.
And that
it was. Gosh, when was this was more, this was it, like around the Simpsons, right? Like in the Simpsons would be the lead in for things, because right. The Simpsons was so popular that their animation section, animation, you know, sequence hour, 2 hours animation block would have it, because it was a good lead in. And then they put shows like The Tick in there.
Right.
Because it would help it have that draw in from the previous set of TV watchers.
And I'm glad they did, because Arthur, and this is, I don't know, I'm sure I knew this, but for some reason it, you know, just left my mind that Arthur was voiced by Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz.
Well, shared between him and Rob Paulsen, but, you know, like Monkees.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's right.
So that's crazy. That is just nuts. The sewer urchin. That always made me giggle, too, because it was such a blatant reference to, like, Prince Valiant. But what if he lived in the sewer?
In the sewer, yep.
It was just so good. And, I mean, Jess Harnell, if you're not familiar, who did the voice for him, did like Wacko from the Animaniacs, among, you know, a ton of other stuff. Kimmy Robertson did Dot, and that may not be somebody that you immediately know, but she was always really funny. I remember finding her to be terribly hilarious. And we got Dorian Harewood again as pineapple popcorn. About calling him pineapple popcorn. Oh, it's one of those days. Pineapple Pacopo, but he did several voices for the show.
Well, so the thing about that is that it was such a, it was popular. It was well done. It lasted long enough, I guess you could say, 36 episodes, but it was so, the take on it was so good that they've tried multiple times since then to do a live action. And the Patrick Warburton one,
he was perfectly cast, but they had some problems.
It's just that it's so absurd. Right. In a certain sense, that it lends well to being an animated show, not necessarily a live action.
Although I did like their change from the one character name to Batmanuel. Oh,
it's so, that's just it. It's so foolish that it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's, you can just do more. You can be more foolish, if you will, with an animated show. And sometimes, you know, that's why the animated, I kind of find that the animated, you know, Marvel and DC shows, some of them tend to be better just because the foolishness looks better in color, hand-drawn or computer-drawn, than it does in live action.
Yeah.
You know.
But man, of all the ones we've talked about today, if there's one that you haven't seen that you should see, it is this one. You will be happy that you took some time just to watch a few episodes, just so long as you can remember that it's not supposed to make sense.
Correct. You'll hear more hype, maybe, if you will, for let's say Spider-Man. But in terms of something that could be played today,
right,
and still be good, it'd be the Tick.
Definitely so. We have one more entry. This last entry is not animated. It's a live action show based on a comic book. It had 88 episodes over 5 seasons. Now, this one is based on a comic book very, very loosely. I think I've told the story before of meeting one of the actors that was in the movie that was based on it first, you know, being very excited. It's like, oh yeah, talking about it based on a comic, and him wanting to, you know, split the points. Like, it's not really based on a comic. It's just the title that it was based on. It's like, yeah, but the comic was an anthology series based on sci-fi stuff. So it's based on the comic. Mm-hmm. Maybe just not a specific story from the comic. I'm talking about Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yes, the of course the movie had its, it was very popular.
Yes.
And I think, like you said, maybe it was that lead in that movie, and then like the comic, or the loosely based on it, kind of put forth the thing that said, hey, we can do a TV show, right? And could possibly have success. Did it? You know, that's debatable. We got 88 episodes, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, the original comic anthology series came out in May 1950. And like we were saying, it's not based on anything that was in any of them. But I'll tell you what, the one thing they knew they could get away with, since the movie was so popular, it's like, oh, put two dorks, or people that can act like dorks, next to a very, very attractive woman, and we have a show.
Yes, they knew the important part of the formula.
Yeah, and it was silly. They could make it episodic. It didn't matter if anything persisted from episode to episode. I actually did watch a good chunk of this show, and it wasn't bad. It was actually a lot of fun. It's not one of those that would make me, if I missed an episode, I wouldn't be too terribly sad that it happened. But I was never disappointed that I watched the show.
Yeah, I think this was one of those that I didn't have access to because it was on a
USA,
was this on a cable or something?
I think it's USA.
Yeah, so I unfortunately did not see it. I feel like I have not seen any of the episodes of it, but I know of it, and I have seen bits and pieces of the representation of it. I have just not watched whole episodes of it.
Yeah. I on the other hand, 94 is when I graduated from high school, went into college. So while I never really had a lot of TV access at home, the college, they had full cable. They had everything.
Yeah.
So I could watch whatever I wanted there.
Yeah, that was a big change in my brainwave patterns, because like, oh, I can watch entertaining things and not the local news. Great.
Yeah.
But this did have Vanessa Angel in it, you know, and just a few years after this, one of the top-tier comedies from the 90s she starred in.
Yes.
Speaking, of course, of Kingpin.
That was... Yeah, we'll have to talk about that in another episode. That movie is, I feel, underrated in so many ways. It's just so goofy. But yeah, so that's 1994. That's everything based off of a comic book, a comic strip that came out during that period, mostly animated stuff, a little bit of live action. Did we miss anything, viewers? Was one of these your favorite show to watch at the time? Let us know. You can contact us on any of the social medias that we're on. We may even respond. In fact, I'm fairly certain that we would, because we'd be so excited to have somebody say something to us.
Even if it was just like they put something that said something. Like that was it, something.
Right. So originally next week we were going to review Kraven the Hunter. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
I think we're shifting some things around. Instead, we're going to talk about Vox Machina next week, which was originally going to be something we were going to talk about over a month ago.
You know, things change.
Yeah, but now that we'll actually be able to talk about it and discuss the plot and go over and see what we think about it and everything, it's going to be a good time. But until then, keep watching. Keep enjoying some comic books. And you know what? It's about Christmas time. So, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.